Okay. Meeting's back to order. I don't know where all the rest of those people are, but they'll just have to find their way here. We're back on the record, and the item before us is the amendments to the PMB bylaws. These were sent to people, and copies were handed out this morning. I hope that you are all familiar with this matter. I will hold on 1 second. Okay, give me one of those things, the bylaws. Right here. Okay. Okay, I'll just sort of describe them briefly to you. Because they're bylaws amendments, there were like thousands and thousands of words. Okay. Which I'm not so sure. I mean, anyway, one of my goals would be to simplify the bylaws and make everything have fewer words. But anyway, I am probably not the right person for that. So this amendment, amendment number one, would reduce the size of the LSBs by 1/3 while keeping the proportions of staff and listener representatives the same by electing 6 listener reps and 2 staff reps in each delegate election instead of 9 listener reps and 3 staff reps in each election. And this would begin with the election, which would take place in oh so short a time next year. Okay, so that's amendment number one, and it goes on and on and on. But that really, if you read the whole thing through, that's really what it does, okay? Amendment number two sort of proportionately reduces the size of the PMB by sort of a similar formula. And there are, again, lots of words, but it makes the same effect. The amendment number three, following the reduction in size of the LSBs and the PMB, would reduce the size of national committees. And amendment number four takes the technology committee and the program committee out of the list of standing committees. Allowing them to meet essentially as task forces, as I understand it. That is, in other words, not having the membership requirements for a quorum. Number five simplifies the process by which amendments may be made to the bylaws. Excuse me. The next one is not numbered, but it's called Proposed Bylaws Amendment Concerning In-Person Meetings. This is an amendment which would reduce the number of required in-person meetings based on financial considerations. And the last one, which has no title, but begins in light of the financial challenges facing Pacifica, is an amendment which would, while still requiring each LSB to organize 2 town hall meetings a year, would make one of those meetings a fundraiser. So there'd be one sort of regular kind of town hall meeting, which most of us don't know anything about because there haven't been any for years and years. And would make the other one a fundraiser, which sort of fits right in with the conversation we were having earlier. So those are the amendments. There's something important in this one. Amendment number three also allows the LSBs to select alternate members for committees, so that if someone can't attend, the alternate can go in their place. I think I've made a very fair summary of the amendments. First, the chair will entertain a motion, either to adopt or reject the motion, the amendments, and then I'll open the floor for consideration. Is there a motion to adopt the amendments? Dan. So move. Second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. All right. Tracy?
I hate to say this, but technically we have to take them one by one.
Okay.
There needs to be a vote on each one.
Okay. So starting with amendment number one, I'll take it that it's been moved and seconded that we adopt amendment number one. The floor is open for discussion. Oh, I love this. Now, Seeing no discussion, the floor believes we are ready to move to a vote. The chair believes we are ready to move to a vote. Are there any objections to the PMB bylaws amendments?
All of them.
No, just one. We have to. Tracy says the rules are we have to vote on them one by one, so we're doing that. All right, so amendment number one. Are there any objections? Seeing no objections.
Yeah. Well, I intend to vote no.
Oh, okay. Then we'll have a vote. I guess we should do a, I'm sorry about this. I know it'll take time, but I think we should do a roll call vote on these since I think it's important that we have a record of the vote. So I'll ask the secretary to take a roll call vote. This is a proposed amendment number one, reduce the size of LSBs in delegate assemblies to 16 from 24, a reduction by one-third is the title of the amendment. Okay, so the secretary will now take a roll call vote.
Is Sharam here? No, he's out? Okay. So Sharam is not present. Bernstein not here. Drake? We're voting on amendment, the First Amendment, yes or no? Okay, Drake is yes. Fest?
No.
Fest is no. Futrin?
Yes.
Futrin is yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans is yes. Goldmacher is not here. Con Hallinan?
Yes.
Con Hallinan is yes. Matthew Hallinan? Matthew Hallinan is not here. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson is yes. Coburn?
Yes.
Coburn is yes. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil is yes. Knorr is not here. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett is yes. Privis?
Yes.
Privis is yes. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Rosenberg is yes. Russell? Is not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer is yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Aki Tanaka, yes. Is Kate here?
No.
Kate is not here. Andrea? Turner, excuse me. Turner?
Thank you, Greg. Yes.
Wilkinson? Not voting. Wilkinson not voting. Withers?
I'm not sure that I can vote on this as an associate station. I don't think I can.
Withers cannot vote.
Or don't,
okay.
Or whatever.
Okay, so Withers cannot vote. So that's 15 yes and one no, and it passes.
Thank you all very much. Moving on to amendment number two, which is entitled reduce size of PMB to 17 from 22. Do I have a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Thank you. And seconded? Okay.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on this amendment? Dan?
Yeah.
Here, you have to use the
I support this amendment like the last one. I think this is an important but only a first step in creating a more efficient organization. I would like to see two other changes, just put this in people's minds. Instead of having elections every 2 years for three-year terms, I think we could do well to have elections every 2 years for four-year terms. It would create a little longer terms for people who agree to do the work, but it would also make the expense and inconvenience of having elections in 2 out of 3 years done with. The other thing I'd really like people to think about, and that's why I'm actually taking the time now, is the idea of having certain designated members of management as part of the board, like the station manager at the station level and the ED at the national level. You know, I represent a couple of organizations that pursue nonprofit organizational development as their kind of thrust. And one of the things that seems to be happening, but not at Pacifica, which is why I want to bring this up, is a kind of streamlining, flattening, and democratization of nonprofit corporate governance. And that includes having top staff as members of the board, given their stake and their perspective on things. So maybe in a couple of years we'll be voting on some new amendments, and I'd like people to consider that.
Okay, remember, you're not supposed to talk about what Dan Siegel just said, because what's before us is whether we approve or disapprove of proposed amendment number 2. We can have a discussion on future bylaw amendments at another time. Okay, so Tracy.
I just want to clarify, because there's always a lot of fine print on these things, that the way that the bylaws amendment 2 will be carried out is a reduction of the number of directors sent from each station from 4 to 3, and it removes the requirement that one of them be a staff delegate. And you can see that in the language.
Okay. Any further discussion on amendment 2? She has a worried look on her face. Do you want to say something, Andrea?
Yeah, I guess I'm just interested. I haven't attended PMB meetings, and I'm not really that sussed on it. I'd just be interested to hear from our current reps, how important do you feel it is to guarantee the presence of staff in the PMB if this amendment is getting rid of that? I'm just curious to see, do you feel like you'd be... I don't know if it would tend to go that there'd be a disproportionate share of staff or if there'd be an absence of staff and how that might affect the decision-making process. So I'd be interested to hear your thoughts.
You can't send... I can clarify one thing. The language in the amendment is that no more than one of the 3 reps can be a staff member. So it doesn't work that way, but it does say that one of the 3 doesn't necessarily have to be a staff member. Sorry if I wasn't clear.
Speaking for myself, I think it's critical that staff members be among each station's delegates. And so if it's not guaranteed, it's something that people are going to have to ensure politically, right? Well, station by station. Yeah.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll come to a vote. I'll ask the secretary to take a roll call.
Okay, so this is on amendment number 2. Agamir is not here. Bernstein, not here. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
Yes.
Fest, yes. Futrin?
Pass.
Futrin, pass. We'll come back to you. Gans?
Yes.
Gans, yes. Goldmacher's not here. Con Hallinan?
Yes.
Con Hallinan, yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
Yes.
Johnson, yes. Coburn? Coburn, yes. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Knorr is not here. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett, yes. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
Yes.
Rosenberg, yes. Russell, not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Aki Tanaka is yes. Kate Tanaka, not here. Turner?
Yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson?
Not voting.
Wilkinson, not voting. And Withers, not voting. Okay, that's unanimous. 16, yes.
No, I'm your
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. Thank you. Futrin?
Abstain.
I'm sorry?
Abstain.
Okay, so 16, yes, 1 abstention, 0, no. Passes.
Thank you very much. Moving on to bylaws amendment number 3. Which reduces the size of national committees and allows LSBs to select alternate members. Is there a motion to approve? A second? Okay, we got it. Okay. Discussion. Lord, no. Tracy.
I mean, there's nothing much to it except that governance, audit, technology, and programming would all be halved in size, and you guys would only be able to send one delegate rather than 2. And that's really about all there is to this. It will make the committees more manageable, and it will reduce representation on any board, and they all do, that has sides, so that only the majority side would likely be able to send a person to the committee. That's pretty much the way that it would work. But I'm generally an advocate of the committees being smaller.
Okay. Janet.
I just wanted to note that the technology committee has not been meeting as a committee because of the lack of quorum and has been operating as a task force for many, many months already.
Thank you. Okay, any further discussion? I think we're ready to come to a vote. I'll ask the secretary to take the roll. Oh, all right. Is anybody going to vote no or abstain on this one? Oh, seeing none, it'll be considered a unanimous vote. Okay. Proposed amendment number 4. Actually, this is what Janet was talking about. This is to remove the technology and the programming from the list of standing committees, which sets a different requirement for them in terms of a quorum and how often they meet and who's allowed to participate and all of those kinds of things. And I think as someone, was it Tracy, said, it's reality, the bylaws catching up with reality. Okay, so is there any, first of all, I need a motion to approve. Second? Got it? Okay. Is there any discussion on this amendment? All right, seeing none, I'll ask if there are any objections to this, to approving this amendment. Anyone want to abstain? Very good. Another unanimous vote. Okay, moving on. Proposal number 5 would simplify the amendment process. This is a fairly straightforward, I think, allowing both how amendments are made and how they are approved through the organization. Is there a motion to approve this amendment? Second? All right. Is there any discussion about this amendment? Seeing none, I think we're ready to come to a vote. Does anyone want to vote no on approving this amendment? Does anyone want to abstain on this vote?
Yeah, maybe. Would you do a roll call? I'm not sure yet.
Oh, okay. Please do a roll call vote.
Okay, so this is on amendment number 5. Okay, Agamir is not here. Bernstein, not here. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
Pass.
Fest passes. Futrin?
Yes.
Futrin, yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans, yes. Goldmacher, not here. Con Hallinan?
Yes.
Con Hallinan, yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
Pass.
Johnson passes. Coburn? Coburn passes. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Knorr, not here. Pritchett?
Yes.
Pritchett, yes. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
Yes. I wanted to make sure that something got changed that was supposed to get changed. It did.
Rosenberg, yes. Russell, not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling? Sterling,
yes.
Aki Tanaka? Aki Tanaka, yes. Kate Tanaka, not here. Turner?
Yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson?
Not voting.
Wilkinson, not voting. Withers, not voting. Fest?
I'll abstain.
Fest abstains. Johnson?
Abstain.
Johnson abstains. Coburn?
Abstain.
Coburn abstains. It's 14, yes. 3 abstentions, 0 no. Passes.
Thank you. Okay, so now we're looking at the amendment entitled Proposed Bylaws Amendment Concerning In-Person Meetings of the Pacifica National Board. The board shall also regularly meet 2 to 4 times in each calendar year. It currently requires 4 meetings. This is a minimum of 2, a maximum of 4. I think that's essentially a description of the change. And I believe it's being done primarily for financial reasons, because the in-person meetings, as we know, are fairly costly. Is there a motion to approve? Second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on this amendment? Tracy.
Well, I mean, for all practical purposes, it's basically trying to keep us from violating our bylaws every time we cancel a meeting, which has happened several times in the past few years, and I'm in favor of that. The problem with the amendment as it's written, and I might go ahead and vote no on it for that reason, is that it doesn't provide us with a template for what we're going to do each year, and I'm sure that Andrea, Laura, and Dan can agree it takes a heck of a lot of time to navigate this each and every year. And to put it in our bylaws that basically we fight about this for the better part of a year doesn't strike me as the smartest thing we could do. So for me, I think it's a little poorly written, and I think I'm going to vote no. But that said, the bylaws amendment doesn't change anything in terms of what we've been doing the past 2 years, so whatever.
Other comments? Dan.
Well, you know, I think it's true that we've wasted a lot of time in the last year fighting about having national board meetings. I think it's been unnecessary, but we seem to have spent a lot of time in the last year fighting about everything. That some people will disagree simply because other people propose something, and vice versa. I think that the issue about having meetings, though, for the last year or so has really been an issue of finances. And some people have said, look, this costs a lot of money. We should really try to save it. Other people have said, well, it doesn't cost that much money, and in-person meetings are more productive than telephone meetings, which, although I've been in favor of having fewer meetings, I also agree with the point that our in-person meetings are more productive. Somehow, when people look each other in the eye, at least for some of us, it's harder to slander and insult each other than if it's on the phone. But I'm in favor of the flexibility. I think if we can come out of our financial doldrums and have some level of even keel fiscally, people will be happy to meet 4 times a year. After all, you get to see Houston, Washington, New York, Walnut Creek, L.A. It's great.
Walnut Creek. Okay. All right. Is there any further discussion on this amendment? Any further discussion on the amendment? All right, seeing none, we'll take a vote. I'll ask the secretary to take the roll.
Okay, so this is, I'm calling this amendment number 6, the in-person meeting amendment. Agamir, has he left or is he just out? He's coming back. Okay, Agamir is not here. Bernstein, not here. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
No.
Fest? No. Futrin?
Yes.
Futrin, yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans, yes. Goldmacher, not here. Con Hallinan?
Yes.
Con Hallinan, yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Knorr, not here. Pritchett?
Abstain.
Pritchett abstains. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg? No. Russell, not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
Yes.
Sterling, yes. Aki Tanaka? Aki Tanaka abstains. Kate Tanaka, not here. Turner?
Yes.
Turner, yes. Wilkinson? Wilkinson not voting, and Withers not voting. That's 11 yes. 4 no. Oops. 4 no.
Yeah.
2 abstentions. Passes.
Very good. Thank you all. Okay, so following Craig's labeling the previous amendment as number 6, is that right? We will call this last one number 7, and this is the amendment which would change the requirement for holding town hall meetings to having still having two town hall meetings, but that one would be devoted to hearing listeners' views and concerns, and the second to assist in station fundraising activities. And the new language would read, to conduct town hall-style meetings at least once a year, devoted to hearing listeners' concerns and to assistance to organize at least one fundraising event per year. Okay, so I think it's clear what this is a directive to the LSB, and I would accept a motion to approve. Somebody want to move?
So move.
A second?
Second.
Okay. Floor is open for discussion. Yes, Andrea.
You know, I think I like the spirit of fundraising as an objective for us, but I think this proposal kind of requires, unless we're just totally in a fantasy land, don't we want to reflect on why for the last 2 years we have violated our own bylaws and not had a single town hall? It didn't even ask us to do fundraising. It just asked us to pick a spot and let people come and give us some feedback, and we haven't even been able to pull that off. So if we're looking for an opportunity to more flagrantly violate our bylaws, then I guess this is it. So, well, I'm not eager to do that. I'm actually more eager to hear from board members. I have tried to sit on a fundraising committee with this board. It turned to dust. And I'm trying to figure out, we've also made some efforts. I brought proposals here for town hall meetings. That has turned to dust. So I'm curious why people think that's happening. And without a little reflection or analysis of that, this just really feels a little disingenuous.
Anyone else? Frank.
I feel what Andrea's saying, that we haven't done a town hall meeting in quite a while. It'd be great to just have one, let alone raise funds there. I feel like you could probably raise funds at any town hall meeting you have just by asking people if they could appreciate it, donate. Maybe the outreach committee would have a table there, and they could feel free to donate at any town hall meeting that we'd have, just deliberately making one that has to be a fundraiser. I don't know, personally. So I'd like to hear, like Andrea said, other people that have put this forward to share their side.
Okay, Andrea and then Sasha.
Doesn't this just set the framework for proposing something that could happen in the future? If we don't have it on the table, at least we won't have the opportunity to discuss it. So I'm saying that we need to have it as a framework and then to move forward. And in moving forward, maybe have that discussion, you know, in the future, like what failed the last time, so that if we want to move forward, let's try not to do what we did in the past, but let's use, learn from the past and reshape it to make it really, really happen. Because I was with you. I came on a few of those sessions, and I just couldn't because of time, you know, continue. But now that I'm coming off of the board, I would probably have some more time to do fund development and raising and helping out in the national office or something like that. You know, because I think we really have a good diamond mine here, and I'd like to see us put, you know, more effort into it. So that's why I'm going to vote yes on trying to at least set the framework and then move forward on it.
Okay, Sasha.
Well, my own opinion about why we really don't move to have a lot of town hall meetings, or some of us feel that, you know, that no pressure other than the bylaws to do them, is that the fact of the matter is that they're actually kind of highly divisive, because factions bring out their folks to argue about the same things we argue about at board meetings, and it has to do with programming and so forth. And it's not really
you know, from what I can tell, it's not of general interest to the average listener who is not already involved, you know, in some way or another, in one faction or another, for want of a better way of putting it. And, you know, I think a fundraising event that could be fun and of interest, I mean, you get a good speaker, you get some great music, could actually be something really positive that the average listener, first of all, might be interested in. Look at all of the events that Bob Baldock puts on that bring in a full house. You know, and that we could do something productive in terms of raising money and, you know, maybe in working together on that, if we were to actually put a town hall meeting together where people came and discussed the station with us, you know, they might have, might build up more interest for doing that. But, you know, if you stop and you think about it, the average listener really is simply not all that engaged as those of us in this room are with the governance of the station. And, you know, I don't really need to hear of more of, you know, three Sashas, three Andreas, instead of just one of each of us voicing the same thing and arguing with one another at a town hall meeting.
Laura.
Oh, yeah. I think we should have fundraising slash town hall meetings that actually inspired people about what's amazing about KPFA. And we could do that by having, like, a party instead of a meeting and have really good music and showcase what's great about KPFA and have people talk about it. It could be fun. Why don't we have fun instead?
I'm calling
parties
on.
Controversial.
Parties are controversial. Dan, Anthony, Andrea, Janet, and Tracy. Okay, go.
Well, first of all, I agree with Laura. It would be good to have an event that people would actually want to come to, and maybe some different people would want to come to. I mean, one of the points that makes me a little skeptical about just having a town hall meeting is, well, where would we have it? We'd have it in Berkeley. Who would come? If we were really lucky, 100 people out of our 19,000 members would come, and then we'd all pat ourselves on the back after we argued for 2 hours and leave, you know, and it really wouldn't be a very democratic or broadening exercise. And the idea of doing something different that might attract more people and actually raise some money seems like a good thing. And I also wanted to respond to Andrea's comment earlier about, you know, why will we do better? I think we may do better if we stop spending our time trying to slit each other's throats, sue each other, et cetera, and work together on things where we can agree and not find reasons to disagree. Then we could put positive energy into doing things, not negative energy.
Next on my list is Anthony.
Yeah, we haven't done town halls in who knows when. We've stopped rotating the LSB meetings throughout the area. It's not about taking our opinions out to share with other people. It's about getting out there and listening to what the station supporters want to say. That means going to Marin and Sonoma and Contra Costa and the South Bay and the Peninsula. So I don't see since we failed to do that, I don't see that we're going to now give ourselves a pass and only require it to be done once a year. We need to get the, rather than bylaws catching up with the reality, we need to get the LSB to catch up again with the bylaws as written and do what we're supposed to do. If we can't even get out and hold town halls, which should be sitting and listening, publicizing and then listening to what our subscribers and supporters have to say, why should we expect we're going to be capable of doing something yet more complicated like a fundraiser? If we can indeed do a fundraiser, hey, let's do it. Let's do 3 or 4 fundraisers, but you don't need to write it into the bylaws. Let's get going and do what we should have been doing over the years, 2 town halls a year, you know, once every 6 months. Not that big a deal. Sit and listen to what our audience has to say. And if you want to do a fundraiser on top of that, or if one of them, one of these town halls can also be a fundraiser, you know, so much the better.
Can you say the word party?
Okay, okay. Please. Andrea and then Janet.
Madam Chair, were there other people? I've already spoken once. Are there other people who haven't spoken yet who?
Oh, thank you. Okay, I'll put you on the second list. So I have Janet, Tracy, and Jack.
Yes, I want to reiterate what, part of what Anthony was saying about these town hall meetings are to listen to listeners, to hear listeners. That's what it says currently in the bylaws, to hear their views, needs, and concerns, not tell them ours. And there are ways to do that, to have like a facilitator. We don't have to facilitate. We can find a facilitator who can make it more open or make it easier for listeners to express their needs. And that's really what we shouldn't be saying our points of view. The more, I believe, the more listeners learn that they want to be heard or that they will be heard, they are more likely to donate to the station. So it's a form of outreach also.
Okay. Tracy.
I find it kind of astonishing that people's imagination about these town halls extends only as far as talking about basically themselves and KPFA governance. That seems like, well, okay. I mean, it seems like the part where you're can't see because you're staring at your own navel. We could have town hall meetings about the military-industrial complex. We could have town hall meetings about the current state of the anti-war movement. Please be quiet, Sasha. We could have town hall meetings about the state of race blindness in this current post-racial environment that we're in. We could have a town hall about young people and how they're using media differently than old people. We could have a million different town halls, and all of these would make the station stronger, not weaker. So the idea that the only thing that we could possibly come up with to do at a town hall meeting is fight about programming is really the saddest thing I've ever heard, and it's kind of an indication of where this board is at in terms of imagination and looking forward and doing constructive things for the station. In terms of I'm just saying.
Please,
I mean, if you can't think of anything to do on behalf of the station but fight, that's sad. In terms of...
But you're our role model.
Okay, please. Tracy has the floor. No crosstalk.
The point is, the definition of a town hall meeting as defined by this board that hasn't had one is not the meaning of a town hall meeting in real English and in terms of what your listeners might enjoy or want to participate in. The bylaws amendment doesn't really change much of anything. You still have to hold a town hall meeting. You still have to hold two. Just one of them is supposed to have a fundraising component. So the question of we don't want to hold town hall meetings really isn't on the table. The question is only whether one of them will have a fundraising contingent. And this board has never been stopped from holding fundraising events. It hasn't, but it's always been able to. And now it will continue to be able to with a little bit of a bylaws push in front of it. So the amendment's fine, but the conversation around the amendment has been kind of on the depressing side.
Next is Janet. Is that right? Yeah. Oh, it's Jack. I'm sorry. Oh, those JKs. Jack, you have the floor.
Well, this is what we call a new first. Never before have I heard such a positive suggestion couched in such negative terms. It's really, really marvelous in its own way. So, if I, it's like a lotus growing from the mud. So, I accept the positive suggestion about what a town hall could look like. I would also like to pose a question directly to Anthony, if I may, having to do...
Actually, you have to address the question to me, and then I ask him. That's how it works.
I would...
It's true.
I would... Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would like to address a question to Anthony.
Very good. What is your question?
And the question is, if, according to Anthony's suggestion, that we hold board meetings in such faraway places as Sonoma or the South Bay or even Fresno, would he guarantee his personal appearance at such a board meeting held, for example, in Fresno?
Okay. All right. Okay. Anthony, Anthony's term on this board is expired. I don't think he actually has to answer that question, but...
Would he come just as a matter of holding the flag up high?
Jack, please. But if you wish to respond, Anthony, you may.
Yes, I will, and indeed it is largely hypothetical because my term does end now. But
have you ever attended a board meeting in Fresno?
Jack, stop it.
Yes, I have attended a board meeting in Fresno.
How many?
I don't recall offhand. And I also was the one who arranged a meeting in San Mateo, which you and all of your colleagues didn't see fit to attend. So I'll thank you to not act high and mighty on this issue.
Okay, this is not appropriate discussion. I want it to end now. We are talking about. Stop it. We're talking about attending. About approving amendment number 7 to the bylaws. And I would request that board members keep their comments to that topic. I have on the list... that doesn't work. I have on the list first-time speakers, Sasha and Cynthia. Second-time speakers...
I'm a second-timer. I've spoken on this. I was the first one to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, so then as second time speakers, so Cynthia is the only first time speaker. Then I have Andrea Pritchett and Laura Privis, who both want to speak. So I'm going to call. I got you under this. Okay. So and Frank Sterling, did you spoke before too?
Yeah.
And Janet Coburn, who spoke before. Okay, so starting with Cynthia, who is the only first-time speaker. And please keep your remarks to the question of whether or not we should approve this amendment or not. Thank you. Cynthia, take a mic, please.
I think we can all remember when we went to, I say we disapprove this just because it's totally unnecessary. I think it's been pointed out ad nauseum. We can still do what we want. Why don't we just work on getting the two town hall meetings, et cetera? I'm just repeating stuff, but it seems that it bears repeating. It's just, remember what E.B. White said in your Stunk and Wagnalls writing thing? Omit needless stuff. We've got plenty of, I mean, let's just get a committee to work on the town halls, and then of course they can be fundraisers, but this is a totally unnecessary bylaw. I'm going to vote no, or a suggested bylaw change, so I'm just going to vote no, and I urge my esteemed colleagues to do so too.
Okay, Andrea Pritchett.
I guess... I'm going to take some issue with this notion that we could simply just have a party and call it a town hall meeting. I actually think there's a point, a reason why town hall is in the bylaws, and I'm going to hope that it's because we're actually trying to promote a democratic process. And my colleagues on the other side of the table, I hear you disparage this process. You seem to demonstrate so little faith in it that sometimes I wonder why you participate in it. And why not make room for those who really truly do believe in having a democratic process? And I do believe that a town hall meeting is part of that process. And no, it's not about putting our arguments and disagreements on display. It's actually trying to foster unity. And maybe that's a new activity for some folks. I would also say this, that those people who believe that the only place in our radio network is for quote-unquote radio professionals, I actually think this is a time where organizers have a role to play. And one of the things that grassroots organizers know is that, look at the money. Bob Baldock has been doing wonderful events for quite a long time, but the profit margin, I don't think, is actually why we do it. I think it has a beautiful outreach and educational prospect, but those kind of fundraisers are not the best way to raise money. And for us to organize an event, at best, maybe we raise I'm interested to see how much legwork folks are willing to put into it. But if everybody's as busy as they seem to be, I kind of doubt that that is really going to be a viable source of funds coming to us. So, again, I think our time and our energies are better spent in trying to gather listener input, support the CAB, support what they're trying to do, and also support an objective of trying to educate our listenership about some of the challenges that are coming down the pike related to new media, related to outreach, related to building a listener community. And I do want to point this out, that Sam Herndell in Petaluma came to, when we were in, what was it, San Ramon? What was that? Yes.
Roanoke Park, right.
And they tabled outside of our meeting, and their desire, they were like, please, please, can we have a town hall meeting? Will you please, please hold it in our place? Please? And we didn't say boo to him. We didn't give him any reason, and we've lost him. That connection has been cut. So I'm interested, if folks are into daring people to come to a meeting, I'm interested in finding out what people are willing to do for this fundraiser. Where's your souls going to meet the pavement? Where are you going to, what leaflets are you going to hand out? What work are you going to put in? And let's make this process real and not just theory and hypothetical.
Okay, Laura, followed by Sasha.
Yeah, I'm kind of just trying. I think it's important to think creatively about what we do and kind of refresh what we're doing. If we're having trouble having town hall meetings, there's a reason people maybe aren't enthusiastic about it. You could actually have a serious, open, democratic, public discussion about KPFA and have music and have it be a nice event. But the positive part of what Tracy had to say, you can also put on town hall meetings about all sorts of issues, and that's what our listeners are interested in. They're also interested in music. We're both public affairs and music and news. Margie was talking earlier about a national town hall call-in that she participated in. Like, that's a creative idea. Maybe it could be a call-in. So then, people from Marin could call in. Or maybe we could do it on air. I mean, there's a lot of ways that we could be thinking about doing things to outreach to people and to actually interact with our listeners.
Okay. Sasha, followed by Frank.
Can I call the question?
Okay. You can call the question. We take a vote on it. It takes 2/3 to close debate.
How many speakers are there?
Well, I called the past.
I know. I apologize. No, the problem is that I do not believe we will not be able to get a 2/3 vote to close debate.
All right, then I'll make a comment. Forget it. I withdraw calling the question.
There are two people on the list, Frank and Janet. Okay, Frank, go.
No, it's my turn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sasha.
I'll make a comment since I can't call the question.
Oh, okay.
just
go.
I just wanted to say that there's a reason why some people feel that the town hall meetings, don't lead anywhere, and it's not because of a lack of wanting democracy. What so far, in general has come to town hall meetings are LSB groupies.
I haven't seen them.
of one side or another. Well, you've only been on the board for 3 years, but yeah. I mean, I know it feels like a lifetime, but double that. You know, I've done two lifetimes. But anyway, you know, it's, and that's why. It's sort of like saying our U.S. elections are democratic. Well, how democratic are they with our campaign funding system? You know, it's kind of like that. You know, I don't call it democracy because we have a bunch of our, you know, both of us have a bunch of our groupies coming and taking the stand we've told them to take. You know, I go to these things and I can look at the faces. I recognize every face in the room and I more or less know what every person is going to say. What? How is that helpful? You know, that's an opinion that some of us hold. It's not that we're against democracy. You know, and putting a face on it where you have some fun and you give people another reason for coming in that actually interests people besides our groupies, you know, might lead to being able to, in the future, having productive town hall meetings, which listeners actually want to come to because we're not there trying to knife each other in the back.
Okay.
Frank.
Okay. So I agree with, like, both sides. I feel like if anybody attended the apprenticeship party, we had a 10-year anniversary party the other day. We didn't get the word out very greatly. But anyways, it was pretty great to hear Uncle Bobby, Oscar Grant's uncle, came and said some great words about the station. And I feel like if we had something similar to that, Andrew was there. A lot of people were there that can attest to that. He spoke about how great KPFA was and how it helped them and his family get their word out and to actually be heard and to mourn and cry with them. It was really a great speech that he gave. And maybe if we can have something like that at our town hall meetings, maybe a little inspirational speaking before, you know, to set it up and maybe not have the call to the groupies, as you so put it. Because a lot of times I notice that before the town hall or before whatever happens, that people put out the call to come, let us be heard, let your side be heard. Maybe we could refrain from a little bit of that. But also I agree with the other side is that it is a time that the listeners want to be heard and then say something. You know, maybe it doesn't have to be about how great KPF is or how bad it is. It could be on an alternative subject, like Tracy said. There's a lot of stuff we could have town hall meetings at. So I think a combination of the two would be great. And I'd just like to know what difference does this really make if we do pass this or not. We could still do either one. So it's a little undetermined for me still. But I feel like it's a great idea to have some inspirational speakers, also to raise some funds, at the same time let the public speak and to let them be heard. Anyways, thank you.
Okay. And the last person is Janet.
Cynthia's on.
Did I skip you?
You didn't see her the first time.
Oh, I didn't see you for the second time. I'm sorry. Okay, apologize. Go ahead, Janet.
Yes, so I'm going to vote no on this because I think what is in place, the wording that is in place, is sufficient. Instead of thinking, oh, we haven't done town halls and we have to do town halls, let's think about doing one town hall, even though it says two town halls. Let's just try to do one. And we would be able to promote it on the air, and I like Laura's suggestion about possibly having it a call-in, but I think we do need in person as well, so maybe one could be a call-in, another one could be in person. So let's think about doing just one, even though we're supposed to do two.
Okay, Cynthia.
Yes, I agree with what, I'm still going to vote no. I agree with what Laura said about using our creativity. And I, for one, am very enthusiastic about having one town hall meeting on how we build a movement. We have a person in the South Bay. We have a person in the North Bay. They would do it. We put it on the air, I'm sure, not just so-called whatever people were referred to would come. I think we can do it otherwise if it's well advertised, you know? That's that. And also, yeah, so that's what I'd like to do, suggest we do a first one on how we build a movement, because I think that's what our radio station is about as well, among other things. But anyway, that's what I'm. But I'm still going to vote no because I think it's unnecessary. But it's fine, you know, not so serious.
Can I ask a point of information?
Sure.
Is there anything? Does town hall meeting? Is there anything? When I read the bylaws, it doesn't seem. It doesn't have to be in. Like a town hall meeting can be on air. Is that true? It doesn't have to be in person.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm asking for clarification. It doesn't seem to say in the bylaws.
Okay. Okay. All right. I think we're ready to come to a vote. All those. I'm going to ask the secretary to take a roll call. There are a number of. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. I know there are some people in the hallway, but we're going to take this vote now. So all those. Oh, I'm sorry. The secretary is going to take the roll. I apologize.
But before I do, I need to know who made the motion originally. I didn't catch that. Was it Khan? Khan? Okay. I thought there was somebody over here who... Okay.
She seconded it.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
All right.
The record is perfected. Okay. So this is amendment number 7 on fundraising at town hall meetings. Agamir. Agamir is no. Bernstein not here. Drake?
Yes.
Drake, yes. Fest?
No.
Fest, no. Futrin?
Yes.
Futrin, yes. Gans?
Yes.
Gans, yes. Goldmacher not here. Con Hallinan?
Yes.
Con Hallinan, yes. Matthew Hallinan?
Yes.
Matthew Hallinan, yes. Johnson?
No.
Johnson, no. Coburn?
No.
Coburn, no. Kurzweil?
Yes.
Kurzweil, yes. Knorr, not here. Pritchett?
No.
Pritchett, no. Privis?
Yes.
Privis, yes. Rosenberg?
No.
Rosenberg, no. Russell, not here. Sawyer?
Yes.
Sawyer, yes. Siegel?
Yes.
Siegel, yes. Sterling?
No.
Sterling, no. Aki Tanaka?
No.
Aki Tanaka, no. Kate Tanaka is not here.
Yes.
Turner? Turner,
yes.
Wilkinson?
Not voting.
Wilkinson, not voting. And Withers, not voting. That's 10 yes, 8 no.
Okay. Thank you all very much. We got through that. And I will communicate our decisions to the PMB. We are now ready for committee reports. Can we have a report from the PMB? You want to do it? So who wants to start? Okay.
Laura will start.
I don't know what to talk about. There's so many things to talk about. Well, I guess... Everyone knows that Summer Reese is now the interim executive director. She seems to be doing a lot of work. She's handling a lot of problems all at the same time right now. There's been a transition to, you know, new management that's been quite rocky. There's BAI and Sandy. There's BAI and WPFW having to move. WPFW has to move by December 31st. And they've been having trouble finding a place for various reasons. I think they might have a chance to have one now. Summer's also looking into finding temporary housing for WBAI. And it might be a lot cheaper, like maybe $30,000 cheaper a month, which is pretty significant. BAI is still having financial trouble. The money that we raised will help them, but they still have a long way to go. And they're also, Summer's trying to get FEMA money and other grants that are available now to try to help out that situation. So there's a lot of things happening on a lot of fronts. That we also, I was on the audit committee. We secured a new auditor, not the same one we've had in the past, Ross Wisdom, but it's a firm, it's the biggest audit firm in California. It's called Armanino McKenna. And they have a long list of nonprofits that they work for, and they've worked with CPB funds before. So the national office has said, they told us in open session the other night, that they're planning to be ready to do an audit in January, the very beginning of January. They'll be ready for the audit, which is a good time. So I guess that's it.
Anybody else?
We don't have a CFO.
Right.
Right, so everybody knows that one, right? I just wanted to add that one.
The positions are being recruited for, is that correct?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Any update on that?
There's a search committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a point of information on that.
Sure.
A gentleman by the name of Peter Larson is actually doing this equivalent, I think, of the CFO work, and I think is seen to be doing a really good job. He's perhaps not called CFO, but he's the one helping the network prepare for the audit. And I think he seems like a very competent person.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tracy?
Yeah. To clarify a couple of things. Budgetary process is pretty much complete. All the divisions, including, we just did archives, we just need a formalized basis on the consolidated budget. So that's done. Peter Larson came to us with 10 years of accounting experience at Schwab, and basically he is working as a consultant, primarily doing the work that used to be done by the controller, who unfortunately had to leave. He is not an interim CFO. The permanent, there's the ED CFO search committee that was convened that's been meeting for about 6 weeks. As I understand it, the job descriptions were redone and the ads are being placed as we speak. So they should be receiving resumes fairly soon. And then they will do preliminary interviews and the full board will interview the finalists. What else? WBAI is likely, although it is not definite, to transition from a temporary studio to hopefully a permanent home of their own later this year.
Later this year?
Yes. The advantage of the hurricane forcing them out of Wall Street will, was really unfortunate in lots of ways, but it has the advantage of making some actions possible that were not otherwise possible. By staying in temporary studios for a short period of time, they will save a significant amount of rent each month, which will allow them to facilitate a move that they've not been able to facilitate because they couldn't save any money because of the rent they were paying because they were locked into a lease. So in a way, it gets us out of the sand trap that we've been in. WPFW is also moving within the next 2 months. That's our Washington, D.C. station, likely to a location in Silver Spring where they will be a subtenant. The rent will be $18,000 a month. It looks like it will be a fairly long-term lease until about 2020. That's fairly competitive with the rent that they've been paying now. It's not an increase. They're a little pained at being out of D.C. itself and in Silver Spring, but that's the way it goes. And that move will probably be happening in the next 60 to 75 days. $18,000 is their current. I think that the lease is actually at something like $15,500. Yeah, it's just a little bit less, and it goes up 3% a year, so it'll catch up. Yeah. But it's not a rent increase, which is pretty exciting when you get thrown out of your house to find quarters without paying more is pretty good. There's, God knows, lots of motions coming down the pike, but since I don't really know what order they're going to come up in, I think at this point it would be premature to start talking about them. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else? Anything else in the PMB?
Yeah, as you can see, there's lots of things going on. I mean, not to belabor the point, but I agree with those who have said that this Peter Larson seems to know what he's doing, has made some fairly succinct observations about the organization's finances, including the fact that the books are a complete mess and that he can't decipher the state of the books, what's owed, what's been paid, what hasn't been paid, but he is working to fix that. So I think that's good. I would also add in that I think Summer has been doing overall quite an admirable job in terms of taking hold of a lot of the problems and addressing them straightforwardly. It's ironic, right, that after months and months and months of disagreeing about what WBAI should do in terms of its headquarters, Sandy solved that problem for us, which, is a good thing. and I share Tracy's feelings about WPFW being able to move, although the lease has not been finalized or put before the board yet. People say that it looks like it will happen, and that's a good deal also. And then the final thing, just to demonstrate my commitment to Pacifica, perhaps my tendency to inflict punishment on myself, Tracy and I have agreed and been elected to serve as the two new co-trustees of a couple of Pacifica's pension funds and other funds that need trustees. And hopefully those funds will survive this partnership.
Thank you. That was very good. Thank you. I have a question for PMB representatives. It's my understanding that the PMB took some action around the question of confidentiality and passed a motion, as I understand it, that would allow a committee to exclude a member who had been, who was considered to be having violated confidentiality. Is that correct? Do I have that information correct? Go ahead.
Yeah, I can explain. It was came up through the governance committee and was passed by the full board. So much going on. Basically it was a motion to allow a number of committees have suffered from this throughout the network, where you have scenarios where there's a member who, for whatever set of reasons, says, I don't want to follow confidentiality, or I didn't think that was confidential, or screw you and your confidentiality. It's been said in various ways. And the upshot was that the committees were kind of powerless to do much of anything about it because of some Roberts Rules language, which says that only the full parent Pacifica National Board can act in any way in this kind of situation. So the board passed a commotion that basically authorized committees that if there were individuals who didn't agree to the Pacifica confidentiality statement as it was being interpreted by the majority of the committee, that it would be possible for the committee to exclude that person only from closed sessions as they saw necessary. So that did pass. Hasn't been enforced by anybody yet, so we'll have to see how it works. But it passed the board, I guess. Was it only Thursday night? God. Yeah. I guess it was Thursday night. Okay, yeah. They kind of run together. So it did pass, and the idea was basically to keep all of these scenarios, that there was one in D.C., there was one on the PMB Finance Committee, there was one in New York, to keep everyone from basically spiraling on forever and kicking back at the PNB. The hope is that they'll get more settled on the committee level because we get overwhelmed with, you know, all these complaints. So we will see. It passed.
Okay. I just, for the record, I just want to say that it is my opinion that the committees don't have the right to exclude people who are elected to those bodies by other bodies. That is, LSBs have representatives on those committees. Some people are there by virtue of their office, and I think it is completely inappropriate, particularly when confidentiality is a hotly debated issue. So I was very surprised to hear about this and wanted to take this opportunity. I don't propose that we do anything about it, but I just want to state my opinion for the record. Thank you. Okay. Yes?
You have to understand, and I hope everyone else does too, that there were minority votes on this too.
Thank you. Some people voted no.
And it's a shame that it comes out the PMB because the majority was there. So we need a minority report,
okay,
kind of thing, always.
Thank you. Okay. So we agreed that whenever 2 o'clock rolled around, wherever we were in the agenda, we would go to the CAB, and Mary Prophet and Nancy Poland are here from the CAB, and so I would call on Mary to tell us what she has to tell us. There's one right there, Mary. Oh.
How exciting to have a microphone today.
Do you want to stand?
Your choice, thank you. Such a gentleman, wow. Got to keep this man. Okay, well, first of all, Nancy comes to almost every LSB meeting, whether or not you discuss CAB. I mean, she's just want to mention that because she's so amazing. And I'm not here to report, actually. I'm here to corral the cats. However, we closed our survey November 1st. We are working very hard on organizing it, compiling it, trying to make some sense of it. And Nancy and Judith are working on an explanatory introduction. And the next meeting, which of course will be a whole new ball of wax, I think we'll be ready to present it. But that would be up to LSB if they wanted or if they want to wait a month or whatever, since there's going to be some turnover. And incidentally, I want to say again, you guys are so amazing because you come and you sit and you talk and you listen and you think and you get upset, but you keep coming back. Really. You keep coming back. And it's because...
Come on, Mary has the floor.
They won't even let me say something nice. Well, okay. But anyway, what I'm really here today to do is there are some people who signed up to be part of a committee to develop outreach plans. Because, you know, like, we have some ideas. But what we really want to do is reach young folks, to reach more people of color, to reach people of not just, it's not so much ethnicities, but various communities. And so we really need to develop some strategies that might work. And so I have a sign-up sheet right here for the people who said they would be part of that group. And what I'm asking is that you put down potential days and dates that you can meet, and days and dates that you cannot meet. And Raman mostly can come Thursday and Friday mornings. He did not get back to my email, and I called him this morning, so I don't have anything specific. But I'm going to pass this only to the people. Now, raise your hand if you were one of the wonderful people who volunteered to be part of the committee. This is the CAB LSB.
It was Matthew, too.
Yeah, Matthew.
Nominations for the CAB.
Yes.
And I already reported to the board that I had suggested that we actually do that we put off the selection to next year when the new LSB is meeting. Okay.
But this is just so that we can have people in place so that things can really start moving.
Okay, very good.
And unfortunately, we lose Nancy. The rest of us would like to continue if you will allow us to. But Nancy is termed out and... etc. So that's all that I had to say. But Nancy, do you can you just clarify? Has any outreach been done on the part of LSB? Okay. Then we will have a meeting. We will develop some issues. I will make it happen, and maybe in February we'll have some nominees.
Very good. Thank you,
Mary. Can I ask questions?
Sure,
Mary. So currently there exists an outreach committee. And they're going to be meeting this December 5th, is my understanding.
Oh.
But it seems like just
maybe
to reduce
that's a good idea.
Redundancy, it would be really nice to meet up with those folks. Are you on that outreach list?
I'm on the list, but I overextended, so I decided that I could. So December 5th, what time?
I do believe it's 7 o'clock, and I'm not sure. I think recently they've been meeting, and I haven't been in touch with it in recent time. So I think they're meeting at the station at 7 o'clock.
And December 5th is what day?
That's Wednesday, December 5th.
Yeah.
And I'm not totally clear. You're saying that you guys are going to have meetings? Because for working people, teacher types can't meet Thursday or Friday mornings. It's not a practical.
Okay, well, it's Cynthia Raman, who has an odd schedule. Okay. Now, this isn't for everyone unless you want to join this meeting.
This is a committee that was formed at our last meeting by volunteers. I think it's me, Cynthia, Matthew, and one other person.
And Mary.
Oh, yeah, so the three of us, Cynthia, myself, and this is specifically to talk about outreach in terms of where to place the notices about the cab vacancies and encouraging people to apply to. It's just about cab. Okay, yeah.
Sorry, I was really unclear. I apologize.
It's okay. No problem. All right, so while that's going around, I think we will go back to our reports, if that's all right with the body. Yes, Jack. Pretty soon. Okay. Okay, so Development Committee, we don't have one. I will say that there is a National Development Committee, which Heather Gray chairs, I guess, and she sent me an email telling me that they were meeting and talking with he's a fundraiser, and he does grant stuff, and he wanted ideas about the kinds of things that might be appropriate for grants. So without consulting a blessed soul, I sent back an email in which I put in a link to the apprenticeship program at the station, and I said, it seems to me the apprenticeship program is a perfect, idea for grant funding. It makes, it's distinct, it's discreet, it's perfect. And she was very thankful for that, and they're going to discuss it. I'm not on the National Development Committee, but she and I had some exchange when the board was here in July about fundraising, and so I, as an individual, I did that. So I will just tell you that. I'm confessing. Her name's Heather Gray, and there is, a national development or a national fundraising committee of some kind, but I'm not a member of it, so I don't know. Okay, report from Personnel Committee. I take it there's no... Yes, Tracy?
About the apprenticeship program, it was grant-funded in the first place. That's where it comes from.
See how smart I am?
Yeah, that grantor, I guess, pulled out some years ago and isn't funding it anymore, and many of us have said for many years that we needed to find a replacement funder, but you may want to let Heather or whoever... those of you on the development committee know that it, I can dig it up, but the point is that it originally came into being as a grant-funded program, and it's received a substantial amount of foundation support for a number of years, and at some point that funder pulled out, and it just seemed like we couldn't, the station couldn't do the work to try to replace that funder. But there's probably somewhere in a draw a whole bunch of documentation about previous grant proposals and so on that you could draw upon.
Okay, thank you. No report from the Personnel Committee. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Question.
Yes.
Do you have that information about who's on the Development Committee?
No, but I'll be happy to... Let's you and me and Heather exchange email and we'll talk about it, okay? Because I don't know who's on it or what. I don't even know if it's an official committee. I think it's a task force. Okay. So we'll figure that out. I promise. Okay.
Chair, point of information.
Yes.
I think it's important that this committee understand or realize that we're already doing some of this work now with Goldbusters, and we don't want to be doubling up.
Oh, okay.
There should be some coordination. And secondly, I'd really like my report back if someone's got it in their folder.
The Goldbusters report. Who grabbed it?
Yeah.
Laura has it.
Andrew?
Okay.
Okay. Heather, the chair, is very involved with Goldbusters. She knows them.
It's just important as general manager of the station, the raising the money about, that I know about this.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. I apologize. Okay. So Andrea told us that the outreach committee is meeting at the station on Wednesday night and 7 o'clock. Does the outreach committee have anything else to report? Okay.
I'm not on the committee.
I just do outreach.
Okay, okay.